Welcome back. We're in conversation with Dr. Brian Day, president of the Canadian Medical Association, discussing healthcare reform and issues that really need to be addressed. And one of them, Dr. Day, has been the accusation that somehow you're in favor of privatizing our healthcare system to the detriment of people who will not be able to afford to use that part of the system, and hence abrogate the claim that you want universal access for Canadians accessing the services that they need to circumvent wait times and to deal with the issues that require immediate assistance. So I'd like to ask you, first of all, straight out, do you favor private healthcare, a private healthcare system in Canada?
Well, absolutely not. I do support a role for the private sector, but the suggestion that I would want to privatize Medicare is ridiculous, as is the suggestion that I would want to have an American-style system. I think that that anyone who has worked in the United States, as I have, would not want that system for Canada, notwithstanding the fact that some of the best healthcare in the world is available there. Their system is quite flawed. But the people that generally say that, and this is, it comes down to the hypocritical aspect. Some of my biggest critics, for instance, would oppose, say, any option for private insurance, even when access is denied in the public system, that you're supposed to just sit and suffer in silence. But what's interesting is that almost to a person, those who oppose private insurance actually have it themselves, and it is they may call it extended health insurance, but by any descriptive manner, this is private health insurance that is available to the privileged 70% of Canadians and the underprivileged 30% of those that are suffering. I would say to anyone who truly believes that it's wrong to have private health insurance, for some of the unionized workers who oppose any change to the system, they should perhaps consider writing to their employer so they can opt out of that and not take that privilege. But the reality is that Canada does not have any infrastructure for private hospitals and so on. So the only way we can achieve our goal in a timely manner, the goal of eliminating wait lists for Canadians, is within the public system. Now, I do believe that market principles, private sector methodology, needs to be brought into the way the public hospitals operate. And I do believe that the private delivery of publicly funded services is good for Canadians, and we've shown that with the injured workers in British Columbia. And I think Canadians often don't stop and think that, for the most part, say there are 10,000 doctors' offices in Canada, that is private delivery of publicly funded healthcare, and Canadians need to understand that. I don't think that it's quite clear in the minds of many of us.
So, in other words, private insurance that exists and that we're talking about exists now for many people. For example, public service workers have extended insurance that covers them for a lot of things, a lot of medications that people who don't have that insurance can't afford. Similarly, people underprivileged or on social assistance or disabled will have government-covered coverage for their medications, that people under similar socioeconomic situations but not disabled may not be able to afford. So there is that, as you mentioned, that hypocrisy.
Yes, and this is these are for essential medical services. I mean, we're talking about an ambulance when you've had a heart attack, or crutches when you've broken a leg and you're trying to get out of the emergency department, or, as you said, painkillers after when you're in pain. So these are essential medically necessary services. They may not be judged as such by bureaucrats, but for doctors, these are medically necessary services. And the 30%, there are 30% of Canadians who are underprivileged in that they don't have that. So so to say we don't have a multi-tiered system in Canada is simply wrong.
So with regards to providing this insurance, There are a couple of prongs to this that the criticisms are, what happens to people who have pre-existing medical conditions that would normally exclude them from coverage so that they wouldn't be able to get the coverage in the first place. And secondly, if you do have a separate provision or a small segment of the medical services as being provided in a private center, what would happen with regards to human resources? The criticism is that you would see a shift of physicians and nurses moving to those areas of the private sector because of either being more lucrative or just more, essentially just more lucrative for them to do that. And so they wouldn't be applying themselves in the public system as much. How do you reconcile all those particular critiques?
Well, with the insurance question that you raised, this is already the case in European countries, for example, where it's actually, if you want to be in the insurance business, you cannot discriminate, and so the whole principle of insurance is spreading the risk. So absolutely, that can be achieved, and mm-hmm. there are many countries where private insurance plays a large part in the delivery of in the coverage of its citizens, where the government regulations simply require the companies to cover everyone, and you know, you take the losses with the gains in the insurance business. So I don't think that's an issue with respect to the diversion of manpower. What we're seeing now is Canada has 17 medical schools. We have sent the equivalent of 2 full medical schools a year away because we don't have the resources to allow those mm-hmm. doctors to work. So we actually will retain doctors, retain nurses by expanding the capacity of the healthcare system. And we've seen this in the Workers' Compensation Board example in British Columbia, where injured workers they don't wait for consultations, they don't wait for procedures, tests, surgeries, and the Workers' Compensation Board in British Columbia saves hundreds of millions of dollars in wage loss benefits and in healthcare costs. Plus, the fact that the capacity is expanded has allowed British Columbia doctors, more British Columbia doctors in specialties like orthopedic surgery, to stay in the country because they couldn't get operating room time mm-hmm. elsewhere.
Well, I know that in Ontario, the practice of the Workers' Compensation Board is very similar in that they will pay the hospitals and even private MRI centers to get MRIs, especially if there's orthopedic injuries or back injuries, hip injuries, to get the diagnostic imaging studies quickly so that they can then propose a treatment plan to get them back to work much more quickly for the reasons that you've mentioned. So it's not something the government isn't doing itself.
Well, right, and of course there are other groups besides injured workers who are so-called exempt from the Canada Health Act. I think the point though to make is if we can achieve that with injured workers, let's do the same for mm-hmm. everybody else.
Now my final question is, will the CMA be providing information to the public that's clear, has evidence-based, and focused on each of these issues so that it allows for clarity and consideration? Because a lot of times what happens when we start talking about one area is that people tend to get thrown a whole bunch of data from all sorts of sectors and all sorts of ideas that may cloud the issue in itself. So for example, the private services at surgical centers, you know, will they be covered by your health card if you need to go there? Those kind of clear, concise answers so that people can actually say, well, here's the evidence, this is what I can focus on, this is the issue, and let's move on from there.
Well, that's one of the goals of the Canadian Medical Association, is to educate the public, educate the media, and educate politicians on what we have now and what we need to do to make it better.
And I guess I want to ask you that one last question in terms of, again, we have a private center for some, if the goal is to have universal access, does that mean that someone either through having private insurance that has been either covered through government, if they, as I mentioned, if they're not eligible for, on the basis of their medical conditions, pre-existing medical conditions, not eligible for private insurance to pay out of their own pocket, does the government cover that? And if it does the person only have to present themselves to these centers under the system that you're envisioning with their health card and not have to worry about paying out of pocket for that service?
Well, that's the way it is in countries like Germany and Austria and Switzerland and Britain. Yes, and we've done some contracting out in British Columbia, and the patients are very, very happy, and it works for the government too. So I think the answer is yes. That would be the goal. And through if you don't have any wait list, then there are no wait lists. Queues to jump. So that this question of the rich getting quicker access than the poor is a non. Mm-hmm. That question doesn't exist when there are no waits for either.
Well, Dr. Day, I'd like to thank you very much for taking some time out of your busy day to talk to us about this issue, and I'm sure we'll be talking again, and the debate will continue. But I would imagine that you'd like to see some action occurring this year.
Yes, I would.
All the best.
Thanks, Barry.
Dr. Brian Day is president of the Canadian Medical Association. Coming up, how night shifts and shift works in themselves have an effect on your health. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. You're listening to Sun.